بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, an attribute we all aspire to develop and one that features as a key factor to earning success in our worldly ambitions is undoubtedly the attribute of consistency. We do not have to be a rocket scientist to understand and realize that consistency is pretty essential to successfully change your life. We all agree that those with the most consistency are the ones who succeed faster than others and who achieve more in less time. One of the most vital and appreciated elements of a successful relationship is consistency. Lack of consistency can destroy any relationship. The man who is inconsistent in his kindness towards his wife and who has made his expression of love for her a seasonal affair, then such a man will naturally destroy the relationship. The child who confines his expression of love for his parents to Mother's Day or Father's Day and he is inconsistent in his kindness and respect towards them, then such a child will naturally lose their appreciation. He will lose the appreciation of his parents due to the lack of consistency that he displays in the relationship. Your most acknowledged employee, your most prized worker, is the one whose efforts, whose work and services are crowned with consistency. While the one who displays inconsistency in his services receives no acknowledgement, receives no appreciation from you as an employer. So in a nutshell, one of the most vital ingredients that will yield success in any relationship and that will earn you the appreciation and the acknowledgement of others is consistency. Now every one of us enjoys a relationship with our Creator, our Nourisher and our Most Kind Sustainer Allah Azza wa Jal. And that relationship pre-exists every other relationship because the soul pre-exists the body. And in Alamul Arwah, in the world of souls, already there existed a relationship between Allah and our souls as described by Allah in the Quran. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. Allah describes the relationship that existed between Allah and our souls. That the relationship our souls enjoyed with Allah in Alamul Arwah before the soul was even injected into the body. So the relationship you enjoy with Allah pre-exists every other relationship. Secondly, the bond and the relationship, this union you enjoy with Allah, it overrides every other relationship. This union you enjoyed with Allah, it assumes precedence over every other relationship. And for this very same reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyati al-khaliq." You are not allowed to comply with the demands of a person at the cost of infringing on the commandments of Allah. You are not allowed to please anyone at the cost of displeasing your Allah. Why? Because the relationship you enjoy with Allah, it assumes precedence over every other relationship. So your child will come up to you seeking your approval, seeking your consent to engage in an activity, to take part in an event that is not recognized in the court of Allah. Now on the one hand, you feel obliged to comply with the unlawful demand of your child because of the love that you have for the child, because of the relationship that you enjoy with this child of yours. But on the other hand, you know fully well that as a servant of Allah, your loyalty lies with Allah. So you will not give in to the demand of your child. You will not comply with the demand made by your son, by the demand made by your daughter, Because the relationship you enjoy with Allah assumes precedence over the relationship that you enjoy with your children. Sometimes your spouse might make certain demands on you that may compel you to engage in an interest-bearing transaction. At times the demands made by your spouse are such that compel you to sever family ties and to disregard the rights you owe to others. Now, as much as you enjoy a very intimate relationship with your spouse, you will not give in and you will not surrender to those demands because they infringe on the commandments of Allah. And the relationship you enjoy with Allah reigns supreme. Then you are faced with the demands of society. Brothers, the demands and dictates of society are a major challenge for us today. Today, society tries to decide what we wear, how we wear it, how much or how little we wear. Society decides what we drive. Society decides what we eat and where we eat. Subhanallah, at times the demands of society are so overwhelming that we are prepared to forgo our personal preferences. We are prepared to let go of our personal likings simply to satisfy the demands of society. When society makes a demand on you, whether it is the occasion of your son's walima or the occasion of your daughter's wedding, and society makes certain demands on you on that occasion, and you know fully well that by satisfying the demand of society, you will dissatisfy your Allah, then prefer what Allah has preferred for you. Choose what Allah has preferred for you. It's all about impressing Allah, not impressing society, and you will become the beloved of Allah. Think about it for a moment. If someone gives up something that they are fond of, just for you, how happy do you not become? Show Allah that He comes first in your life and that pleasing Him is your ultimate priority and Allah will just fall in love with you. Wallahu wa rasuluhu ahaq an yurduh in kana mu'mineen. If you are a true believer, Allah says, then Allah and His Rasul are most deserving of being impressed. Allah and His Rasul are most deserving of being pleased. عرفت الهوى مذ عرفت هواك وأغلقت قلبي عمن سواك وكنت أناجي يا من ترى خفايا القلوب ولسنا نراك. رابعة العدوية البصرية. She speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she says, Ya Allah, عرفت الهوى مذ عرفت هواك. I came to know the true meaning of love the day I fell in love with you. وَأَغْلَقْتُ قَلْبِ عَمَّنْ سِوَاكَ. The day I surrendered my heart to you and made you the main priority in life. Once she was asked, Rabi'a al-Basriya, رَحِمَهَا اللَّهُ, أَتُحِبِّينَ اللَّهُ, that, oh Rabi'a, tell us, do you really love Allah? She says, نَعَمْ أُحِبُّهُ حَقَّ. Yes, of course. I really do love Allah. وَهَلْ تَكْرَهِينَ الشَّيْطَانِ, and do you hate Shaitan? إِنَّ حُبِّي لِلَّهِ شَغَلَنِي عَنِ الْإِشْتِغَالِ بِكَرَاهِيَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ. She says, I'm so distracted by my love for Allah. I'm so distracted by my love for Allah that I have no time left to hate Shaitan. Shaitan, the devil, does not even exist to me. When Yusuf alayhi salam was released from the dungeons of Egypt, great honor, the Fir'aun of the time, Ar-Rajal ibn al-Walid, he decided to get Yusuf alayhi salam married to Zulaykha because he learned of the intense love that Zulaykha had for Yusuf. So he had the two of them married. Once Yusuf alayhi salam, he complained to Zulaykha. Al-Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of this. That he asked Zulaykha, مَا لَكِ لَا تُحِبِّينَنِي كَمَا كُنْتِ فِي أَوَّلِ مَرَّةِ. Oh Zulaykha, what's the matter with you? You don't love me as you loved me before. When we were not married, the intense love that you had for me then, and time and again, we hear that complaint, correct? When last did you send me a romantic message? When last did you come home with a bunch of roses? And the real rose is not the emoticon on WhatsApp. When last did you bother me with a diamond ring, if ever? So he complained to Zulaikha that previously it seemed that you loved me much, much more than you love me right now. What did Zulaikha said? لَمَّا ذُقْتُ مَحَبَّةَ اللَّهِ شَغَلَنِي ذَلِكَ عَنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Oh Yusuf, you introduced me to Allah, I fell in love with Allah, it seems as if every other relationship has dimmed out. And brothers, sometimes when we hear about Allah's love, and we're encouraged to develop love for Allah, we feel that, whoa, wait, that's something beyond my reach. The love for Allah, speaking about the love for Allah, that's something too heavy. That's reserved for a privilege which is reserved for certain people in the community or in the society. That's not the case. Allah has given you iman, which is the relationship you enjoy with Allah. You need to contribute towards that relationship. And how is that? How is the best way to contribute towards that relationship? Allah contributes to that relationship before you even came into this world. And we know every relationship, if you want it to develop into something amazing, into something really, really great and fantastic, there has to be an active participation and contribution from both parties. Allah is contributing and Allah is expressing His love for you. The day you came into this world, Allah blessed you with iman. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي هَذَا الدِّينِ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ Allah gives deen, Allah gives hidayat, Allah gives Islam to who? To the one whom Allah has love for. With every breath that you take, Allah is expressing His love. So Allah is playing His part and Allah is contributing towards this iman, the relationship that you enjoy with Allah. It's a matter of us also contributing towards that relationship. Now we spoke about the vital nature of consistency. And we explained that the appreciation and acknowledgement of others is earned through consistency. And the relationship you enjoy with Allah, we explain that it pre-exists every other relationship. Because the soul pre-exists the body. That's number one. Number two, the relationship you enjoy with Allah, it assumes precedence over every other relationship. Hence, the relationship you enjoy with Allah is like no other. It is the most sublime. It is the highest. You cannot have a stronger bond and relationship than the one that you enjoy with Allah because of these two primary factors. And you will agree with me that a relationship of such a high level naturally demands the highest level of consistency. Allah Himself in the Quran has instructed, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ Allah tells us to devote ourselves to His obedience, devote ourselves to His worship until death overtakes us. That is the level of consistency we are required to display in our loyalty to Allah. Not until we leave the masjid. Not until we return home from Hajj or Umrah. But to continue living a life of obedience and worshipping Allah and pleasing Allah until the day comes for us to return to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is the level of consistency that Allah wants you to display in this relationship that you enjoy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us of istiqama. You know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this quality of consistency, steadfastness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to it as istiqama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that istiqama, it helps preserve your iman and it is a most effective way of enriching the relationship you enjoy with Allah. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, profess your faith, profess your iman in Allah, say, I am a mu'min. When you do that, you have established a relationship with Allah. Now what you need to do, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ contribute towards that relationship by exercising consistency, by living your entire life, by what that relationship and that iman demands from you. وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and adopt istiqamah, be consistent and steadfast as demanded from you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to exercise that level of consistency as defined by Allah Himself, not by our definition. And what is the level of consistency that Allah has ordained upon us? We go back to the verse, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Remain an obedient servant of Allah, a subservient abd of Allah Azza wa Jal until death overtakes you. Then this term istiqamah, it means to consistently live a life of obedience despite the circumstances and regardless of the conditions and situations. So istiqamah, this consistency, istiqamah demands that you remain Allah conscious when you are standing at Baytullah, when you are standing at the Kaaba, and when you are approached by a female client, you will maintain the same level of Allah consciousness, regardless of the circumstances and the conditions in which you find yourself. Istiqamah demands that you attend the Fajr Salah in the masjid during the short summer nights, as you attend the Fajr Salah in the masjid during the long winter nights. Istiqamah demands that you behave in a manner pleasing to Allah while in the holy land of Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwarah, and while you are holidaying and taking a break during the long weekend. That is the level of consistency that Allah wants you to display in this relationship that you enjoy with Allah. That regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the location, regardless of the period of time, regardless of the situation, you will always keep Allah before you. And you will make your ultimate priority in life pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal. As difficult as the circumstances may be, as unfavorable as the conditions may seem, never lose sight of the fact that success, happiness, prosperity all lie in remaining loyal to Allah Azza wa Jal, even during those difficult, challenging and trying times. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he describes the conditions that prevailed and the circumstances in which the Sahaba were digging the trench on the occasion of the famous battle known as Ghazwatul Khandaq. He says, خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الخندق فإذا المهاجرون والأنصار يحفرون في غدات باردة. He says, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم came to the trenches while we were digging. And رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم observed the circumstances in which we were toiling and working. And he says, it was very hard conditions that we faced. It was extremely cold, and the winds were blowing violently. We were experiencing starvation. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, فَلَمَّا رَأَى مَا بِهِمْ مِنَ النَّصَبِ وَالْجُوعِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he observed our toiling, he acknowledged the exhaustion, he studied our hunger. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? Allahumma inna al-aisha aishul akhirah. Oh Allah, through comfort, through pleasure, through enjoyment is the comfort, the pleasure and the enjoyment of the akhirah, of the year after. فَاخْفِرْ لِلْأَنصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَةِ. Looking at their situation and condition, they earned the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Allah, forgive everyone of my sahaba, the muhajirin and the ansar. Forgive them all. Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, regardless of the circumstances, they remain loyal to the cause. Regardless of the prevailing conditions, as difficult as the conditions may have seemed, or as unfavorable as the situation really is, istiqamah demands that you never lose sight of the fact that your ultimate priority in life is to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala He explains the hunger that they had experienced on that occasion. He says, شَكَوْنَا إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْجُوعِ فَرَفَعْنَا عَنْ بُطُونِنَا عَنْ حَجَرٍ حَجَرٍ. We came and we complained to Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم regarding the hunger that we experienced on that occasion. In order to demonstrate how hungry we really were, he says, we lifted our upper garments and every one of us had a stone fastened to our belly to suppress the pangs of hunger. فَرَفَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ حَجَرَيْنِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his garment and he had two stones tightly fastened to his belly in order to suppress the pangs of hunger. This brother's hunger was part of their lives. It was an ordinary day in the lives of Sahaba, in the lives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who says, I came to visit the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُصَلِّي وَهُوَ جَالِسْ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is performing salah while seated. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi completed the salah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, مَا أَصَّابَكْ. O Nabi of Allah, what has happened? Are you not feeling well? Why are you performing your salah while seated? قَالَ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَ الْجُوعُ. O Nabi of Allah, O Abu Huraira, I'm starving. I'm hungry. I have nothing to eat. Hunger has forced me to perform my salah while seated. Abu Huraira begins to cry. And Rasulullah says, Ya Aba Huraira, Allah has promised me, if I experience hunger in this world, I will never experience hunger in the year after. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears that his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha has taken ill. So he goes out in the morning to visit his daughter Fatima. He knocks on the door and he comes in. Kayfa asbahti ya Fatima? Oh Fatima, how are you feeling this morning? He says, Ya Rasulullah, asbahtu wallahi waji'ah. O Nabi of Allah, I am in a lot of pain this morning. Wazadani min al waji'i ma bi min al ju'. O Nabi of Allah, and to make matters worse, I have nothing to eat. I'm starving, and that has only escalated the pain and made it much more difficult for me. That was their contribution. That is not demanded of you and I, alhamdulillah. But they had this relationship with Allah. You and I enjoy the very same relationship with Allah. The relationship that they had, we have it. That iman, it's there. That was their contribution. We spoke about the importance of mutual contribution, actively contributing towards the relationship you enjoy with Allah, right? And we all have that relationship. It's there, it's intact. That was their contribution. They contributed actively. That was demanded of them. And consistently they did it. Look at the circumstances. Look at the conditions that prevailed at the time. You and I need to contribute towards that relationship as well. And when you do that, when you will contribute towards this relationship that you enjoy with Allah Azza wa Jalla consistently, then you will find every other relationship of yours will fall in place. Relationship between you and your spouse, relationship between you and your children, relationship between you and your parents, between you and your staff members, between you and members of your community. All those relationships will fall into place when you patch up the relationship with Allah. مَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ. If you will patch up your relationship with Allah, Allah will, through divine arrangements, patch up the relationship between you and the community and the people, and with whomsoever you enjoy a relationship. So Rasulullah ﷺ hears his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha saying this, he begins to cry. And he says, Ya Fatima, la tabki, do not cry, do not weep. فَإِنِّي مَا ذُقْتُ شَيْئًا مُنْذُ ثَلَاثٍ. Your father had nothing to eat for the past 3 days. You're complaining to me about your hunger. I have nothing to give you, Fatima. أَلَا تَرْضِينَ أَن تَكُونِي سَيِّدَةَ نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Fatima, Allah will make you the queen of the women in paradise. So Sahaba were digging this trench. The winds were blowing violently. The cold was unbearable. Hunger reached unprecedented levels. Yet they were chanting out, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِينَا أَبَدًا. Despite the difficulty, they were saying that we are the ones who have pledged our allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No matter what, we will continue serving the cause, living a life of obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam for as long as we live. That is istiqamah. That is consistency. That is what's going to help develop that relationship we enjoy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do something really great and amazing. And Allah has given us the month of Sha'ban. ذَاكَ شَهْرٌ يَغْفَلُ عَنْهُ النَّاسِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this month of Sha'ban is a month regarding which many people are oblivious as far as its significance is concerned. Why? Because it comes between Rajab and Ramadan, two great months. We witnessed the month of Rajab, which was one of the sacred months. And then comes the month of Ramadan, which is another great month. So Rasulullah says, because this month of Rajab, or because the month of Sha'ban, is found between these two significant months, many people are oblivious of the greatness and the significance of this month. So let us use this opportunity, this month of Ramadan, this month of Sha'ban, in order to patch up our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal, and work on that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consistently, with consistency. Ash-shita'u rabi'ul mu'min. This winter season that is about to dawn upon us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a believer, he looks forward to shita. He looks forward to winter. Winter season is like spring for a believer. Why? قَصُرَ نَهَارُهُ فَصَامُ. The days are short. He can easily fast during the days. وَطَالَ لَيْلُهُ فَقَامُ. The nights are long. How much are you going to sleep? The nights are long. He spends a portion of the night in ibadah before Allah. Brothers, like a motor vehicle, like a car, it needs refueling. It needs regassing. Your phone needs recharging. As a mu'min, you need recharging, you need refueling, you need regassing as well. Where does that come from? It comes from that time that you spend in communication with Allah in the latter part of the night. No matter what you are involved in, no matter what field you are, you're going to burn yourself out if you don't get that regassing and that refueling. That comes to you in that latter part of the night when you stand up and communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of tahajjud. You will find that Allah will bless you with energy for you to continue and fulfill every task of yours with ease and comfort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.